Mark's always good. We did the praise. What's the next part?
Power.
We just sang what phrase? His power is endless. He lives within us. Who's got the power?
The greatness of our God.
Ain't nobody in this one. The greatness of our God. Amen. Oh, I got a message for you tonight. I'm so excited. I got a lot of energy. Hopefully we can make this work. So, real quick, how many of you have ever raised a dog from a puppy all the way up? How many of you have ever done that? Okay, handful of you have. Okay, what are you going to need to have when you are going to train a dog up from a puppy stage? What are you going to need?
Patience.
What?
Patience.
Patience, yes, absolutely. So something tangible that you can have that will help you in this endeavor.
Newspaper.
Newspaper, that's always good.
Shop.
Oh, I heard it over here.
Treat.
Yes, there's something in this woman's hand. It's a little hard to see in this picture. What is it? Doggy treats. Why do we give dogs dog treats? And by the way, there's no truth to the rumor. This is one of Lori's dogs that posed for this picture on a pile of milk bones. Why do you need milk bones in hand to train a dog?
Say that
loud,
right here.
To reward good behavior. So if they do something good, my dog, when she needs to go to the bathroom, so to speak, she goes to the door, there's a little bell on the door, and she rings the bell, and one of us goes up and opens the door for her. So she's got us trained perfectly in this. She goes out, does her business, comes back in, she gets a dog treat. It works great. It works awesome. So dog treats are also very good. Reward good behavior. You also want to protect your dog. You don't want your dog running into the street. So, you know, reward good behavior. But there's also something else that you can do. Did you know? Something that actually works better than dog treats to reward good behavior. Do you know what it is?
Praise.
Oh, you guys are on to me tonight. Yes. Praising your dog. And the truth is about dogs, they're very sensitive to voices. More so than any other animal. They don't necessarily know exactly every word that you say. They know some words in English. They understand a few things. But your tone of voice tells them everything they need to know. They know if you're telling them it's a good boy or a good girl, you know, you're petting them. The tone of your voice, how you say it, is more important than what you actually say. You could recite Shakespeare or something, as long as you say it in the right tone of voice, and your dog will be very receptive. So dogs, what's that? So if you do it right, if you do it right, hearing praise from its owner, from its master, is everything to a dog. Dogs desperately crave that. They desire that. You know, if you have dogs give out all their love all day long. We say that they need to get some of their people love back. So what happens if you do it right? At the end, you're going to have what kind of dog?
You're going to have a good dog.
You're going to have a happy dog. Oh, don't you love this picture? Dogs, you notice when their mouth's open, it looks like they're smiling a little bit. I look at that, I'm like, oh, that's cute. So I got lots of pictures of my dog like this too. Okay, shifting gears from dogs to people. Ooh, my wife likes dogs. She loves animals better than people. Okay, if you ever met her, she'll tell you. She loves the little fur balls that we got. Kids, not so much. Sorry, kids. All right, so what do you think this image is here? People in the workplace, might be a little hard to see. Three people around the table, looks like not having a good day. If you look carefully, the dude's trying to hang himself from his own necktie. So there's something going on here in the workplace, and it's not good. Okay, so in the workplace, the companies that you work for, the employers are always looking for ways to improve morale. Always looking for ways to improve morale. Why is that important to an employer?
Because it's a day of work.
Yeah.
Because you work harder.
Yes, employees who are happy and motivated and encouraged and so forth will work harder. You'll get more productivity out of them. So shifting from an office environment to more of an industrial environment. Is that me? No. More of an industrial environment. It's the same kind of thing. These corporations spend millions of dollars looking for ways to improve productivity. So if you're on an assembly line, for example, okay, you're selling a tangible product. Okay, you only can make what you can only sell what you make. So if you're not making a big lot of product, you're not making a lot of money. You're not selling. So these companies are always looking for ways. How do we get more out of our employees? How do we encourage them to do better, to work harder, to work smarter? Okay.
Maybe work weekends.
Oh, yeah. How do we get them to work for free? If we could just get them to work for free. Well, there's some things that work.
Try to do more with less.
Okay. Some things work well. What's something that would work well in the workplace?
Reorganizing the workstation.
Reorganizing? Okay. What else could an employer do to incentivize an employee? Wait, I heard it.
Reward.
Oh, reward, such as?
Oh,
yeah. Bonus check. How many of you have got a bonus check? I don't see a lot of hands. You know why? It's 2020. The bonus almost does not exist anymore in corporate America. I got a signing bonus way, way back in the 20th century, and that's the only bonus I've ever got. That's it. It almost doesn't exist anymore. The idea of giving somebody money on top of their salary, on top of their wage, is just companies just don't want to do that. But it works well if they can find ways to do it. So you know what doesn't work well? Some things work well, some things don't. What could you give an employee that they ain't really going to like? Want to get more hours, more work? Oh, how many of you guys know this movie? Oh, what's this movie? Y'all were thinking this, weren't you? So this is from Christmas Vacation. And this is Clark W. Griswold thinking that he's got his bonus check in the mail. And by the way, if you know the story, he's already put a down payment on the swimming pool, thinking this bonus check's going to be in the mail. And he rips it open, and instead of the money, he gets what? Jelly of the Month Club. And he's like, we might have to cancel the swimming pool. So, Jelly Month, and in the back there, he's got the leisure suit. Cousin Eddie says, Clark, that's the gift that keeps giving all year long. Jelly of the Month Club, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Some things work well, some things don't. But there's one thing that always works. What do you think it is? What's our theme? Pizza. Praise, yes. I want you to think about this for a second. Praise and recognition. Employees that have done surveys over the years, they say that means more to them than anything else can do. So in my company, we have a Christmas party every year. Sorry, we can't call it a Christmas party because not everybody celebrates Christmas, even though that's the only federal holiday in the month of December. We call it a holiday party. It doesn't matter. So at the holiday party for years, what we've done is if you've been on a successful project and you've worked hard, we want to acknowledge you. We want to incentivize you at the Christmas party. So you may be sitting there with your wife or your husband, and your name gets called, and you get to come to the front, and you get handed. Usually it's a little certificate. Sometimes it's a $25 Walmart card. It's not the amount. It's not the amount of the gift. It's the fact that you're being recognized by your corporation. And in some cases, you know, the wife may be home week after week. Where's my husband? Month after, he's working weekends. He's traveling all the time. Why is my husband never here? Does this sound familiar to anybody?
Nope.
Never.
Sorry.
Other than Joni. Okay. But if you have a job where you have to work a lot of hours and you have to travel a lot for the benefit of the business, sometimes your spouse is at home like, man, what's going on? Why is this always going on? Well, at least at the Christmas party, you know, now you're getting recognized in front of your wife or in front of your husband. And the wife's in there thinking, oh, okay, I see that, you know, all these long hours my husband's put in, at least my his company is recognizing his efforts. He's getting praise. And that means more than a bonus check. It actually means more to people that the company is acknowledging your hard work and sacrifice. Praise means more. All right. Oh, what about ways to improve personal relationships? Man, y'all gonna be figuring out this theme by now, right? Improving personal relationships. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. In fact, if you're not too smart, you can pay one of those marriage counselors. They'll be happy to take your money and tell you lots of common sense truths that you should probably already know. They'll be happy to do it. There's all kinds of counselors and therapists out there to hook you up by telling you things that you should already know about your marriage. But what's the best thing you can do when you're in a relationship? How do you build up, strengthen, and encourage your other partner? It's real easy. It's real easy. Oh, y'all look at this picture, okay? This is obviously a West Virginia girl. If you look real closely, she's carrying this dude. Okay. This ain't no city girl. This ain't no girl up in New York City wearing high heels carrying her man. No. This is a West Virginia girl. So she's carrying this dude. So signs of a good, healthy relationship is there's a lot of praise that goes back and forth. It's not hard to do. It's just say, hey, I really appreciate what you did today, you know, for my father. Or I really appreciate what you did. You know, I wasn't able to help you today with all the chores and everything. I really appreciate what you did. You're really an awesome person. It doesn't take much. It means a lot to the person to hear that. It means a lot. It means a lot to that person. Praising your spouse makes them feel valuable. Don't you want to feel valued in a relationship? Makes you feel uplifted. Makes you feel wanted. Makes you feel needed. All right. So, what do all these things have in common? What's the theme?
Praise.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Bruce. Anybody else been paying attention up here? Okay. We need to understand that praise is an important aspect of every single relationship. Every relationship. Praise is important. Oh, where y'all think I'm going with this? Oh, man, y'all should have seen that. I should have took my camera out. That was deer in the headlights all the way across the board. Where y'all think I'm going with this? Oh, you guys know it.
Praise
is an important part. It's an absolutely critical part of being a Christian, okay? Being a Christian means we need to be a praising person. And who deserves our praise more than anybody else? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, this is one of the best verses. I love this. Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What is this? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, it's important that you say the words. It's important that you open your mouth and speak. I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But up at the top, I say, our God delights in hearing our praise. And you may say, well, wait a minute, Matt. God doesn't need us for anything, does he? I thought God was all-powerful. I mean, like, we're the dependent ones, right? Is that true? We're dependent on God for everything, right? We depend on God for everything. Everything that you own, everything that you have is given to you by God. We are dependent on him. God is truly independent of us. He doesn't truly need us. We like the way that we need him. Our God delights in hearing our praise. And this is a wonderful thing that y'all need to understand and take away from this. Our God is moved by our praise. And you're like, wait a minute, seriously? King of kings, Lord of lords, the creator of the universe and everyone and everything in it is moved when we come to worship and we praise him. We have the ability to move the God of the universe, the God who created everything, with our praise. He desires that. Oh, man, what a wonderful thought. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you look all throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Old Testament, Adam and Moses and Noah and all the prophets and Jesus, and our God is a speaking God. Our God is a communicating God. This is a really good thing. So if you've ever had the psychological types, I forget the actual name for it. There are four categories that people are in. I fall into category two, which is social. Y'all might know I got a big mouth, right? Amen. Oh, finally getting some amens. Hey, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on here. Come on now. So I'm a type two. I'm a social person, so it's easy for me to communicate with people. You might not believe this, but back when I was a teenager, I was really, really shy. I had a really hard time opening up. Yeah, I got past that. I got over that real quick. I became an adult. But God is a speaking God. Our God is a communicating God. God desires us to communicate with him. I'm going to talk more about that here in a little bit. So, first of all, why is it important for us to speak to him? What has God done for us that he deserves our praise? Oh, man, the list goes on and on. Y'all going to love this. So, past tense, present tense, and future tense. We have been, there goes the list, we have been redeemed. We are being cherished. We will be rewarded. The list goes on and on. Uplifted, forgiven, invited. Some of these things have happened in the past. It's okay to acknowledge the past. Christ's death on the cross. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Now remember this. Finished work of Jesus Christ. What did he say? It is finished. It's over. Death has no dominion over us. Sin has no dominion over us. That's past. That happened in the past. That has benefit for us today. Not just future tense, but we're going to go to heaven one day. Jesus' death on the cross made us right with God today. Oh my goodness, it's so important that we understand this truth. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so we go to heaven one day. He died on the cross so that we would be right with God and we could commune with Him today and live for Him today. It's so important that we understand this truth. Praise gives us access to God. Oh, you've heard this verse as well. Psalm 104. Enter His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
And enter His courts with what? Praise. Okay, back in the Old Testament, they had the old temple. Inside, in the very center of the temple, they had what's called the Holy of Holies. And not just anybody could go in there. No. You could not get in with a VIP badge and get on into the Holy of Holies. It had to be the high priest on a certain time of year, and he had to go through a very, very careful number of steps, and only then could he have access to God and speak to God. And thankfully, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to go into the temple. Jesus' death gave us instant access to our God. So how do we enter His gates? Through thanksgiving. How do we enter His courts? With praise. That's the gate. That's the doorway for us to get to God. And let me tell you, God's got attention for us when we start out and give Him praise. But how many of us say, we go to pray, oh, Lord, You got to help me. Oh, Lord, my life is awful. You got to help me. I'll be honest, I've done that. Y'all have done that. I'm not the only one here. Raise your hands if you have done that. Lord, You got to help me. Yes, we all have. Okay. How about we pray the way that Jesus prayed? What did Jesus, when He said, here's how you pray, first thing He said was what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means unique, special, holy is Your name. He's uplifting the name of Jesus, of God the Father, not bringing his needs first. God already knows our needs. He wants to hear us praise Him. He wants to hear that first. Oh, this is so good. All right, here's another important part. Praise softens the soil of our heart and prepares us for the seed that's being planted. So you come to church and you're like, well, you know, church is always the same. You do this welcome song. And then this old crazy old guy gets up here and he sings some songs. And this other crazy guy comes up and does some speaking. And then it's over. We kind of do the same thing every church service. Sorry, you know, you're not that crazy. All right, sorry guys. But it's important that we understand the purpose of our praise and worship. Praise and worship does so many things to prepare us for the message, okay? There's a reason we do the praise and worship before the message. We want to prepare our hearts. We want to clear our minds of ourselves and our problems and focus on our God and listen to what our God has to say. There's a reason we do this in order. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Come on now. All right. Praise changes a lot of things. It changes us. Changes relationships. Changes hearts. Changes mindsets. Oh, there it is, a transformation. Romans 12:2. Do no longer conform to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Here it is again. Changes mindsets. Changes our focus. You come to church, you may have 100 problems on your mind, but I know how you are, Bruce. I know how I am. I come to church, man, God washes it all away. He washes it all away. Just focus on Him. God, say, God, I'm here. I want to hear what You have to say. Give me direction for my life. I'm calling God. I worship You. You are my King, and I adore You. You know, that kind of thing. Praise changes hurt to hope. Think about that. Praise changes hurt to hope. Praise does a lot of good things. And guess what? God desires to hear this praise, but it benefits us when we do it. Oh, man. Praise lets us see the big picture. If I were to ask you guys, what was the biggest problem in your life 1 year ago today? I'd say probably most of you have no idea what that was. But at the time, oh my goodness, it was everything. You were pulling out your hair. I can't believe my boyfriend left me or my mom didn't text me back. Whatever it was something very, very minute, something very, very small. But it was big that day. And then the next day there was something else. And a week later it was something else. And today it's something else. And all these little things don't add up to a hill of beans. But praise lets us see the big picture. Big picture is, we are very, we're going to get to this in a minute. Praise lets us see the big picture, who we are in God, oh God, man. Here it comes, y'all ready for this? Oh yeah. Praise reminds us of who we are. 1 Peter 2:9, I love this verse. Oh my goodness. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. Oh my goodness, those are, that's family talk. And why? Why are we these things? There it is. That you may, what? Declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What a wonderful purpose. You like this terminology? God could have easily said, hey, you know what? Y'all are going to come to heaven. I'm going to make you slaves. We're going to be going to work. Here it is. And you'd be like, okay. But God says, no. You're not servants. You are sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. That's family talk. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal son goes away, and he comes back, and he says, hey, man, I'll just come back and be a servant of my dad. That's better than where I came from. And the father greets him with open arms, embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, puts a robe on him, kills the fatted calf, does all these things, and he says, I want everybody to know this is my son. This is my son. That's a story of us leaving and coming back to God. We are sons and daughters. That's family talk. We're not just friends. We're not just distant relatives. We're definitely not servants or slaves. We're family. Oh my goodness. Love this. Chosen people. Royal priesthood. That's us. We are a royal priesthood. Are you kidding me? What? That's how awesome this is. Oh, and praise unlocks God's blessings for your life. So you wonder why, hey man, God, how come I can't catch a break? How many of you feel like you can never catch a break? Oh, come on now. Come on, teenagers. Looking at you, Amber. Raise your hand, Amber. Thank you. All right. Sometimes you feel like, man, I can't catch a break, God. What's going on? Every time I turn the corner, something else bad's happening. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you stop thinking about your problems for a minute? God knows what's going on in your life. He understands. Praise God for a minute. As Pastor Jensen says, take a praise break. Stop for a minute. Praise helps unlock the blessings in your life. And I can't remember who said the statement that your blessing is right on the horizon of the challenge that you're going through. Your blessing is right on the horizon. Don't pray that God takes the struggle away from you. Pray that God will guide you through it and teach you what He's trying to teach you. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to transform you. I'm going to talk about this coming up on Sunday in a few weeks. Praise unlocks God's blessing. Oh, here's another good one. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who what? Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual gift we're talking about. Bless us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Remember Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, I know there were adults in here when I talked fruit of the Spirit years ago. 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's 9. What? Matt, what are the 9 fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law. These are all wonderful things God wants to develop within us. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the spiritual blessings He's talking about. It's all about becoming more Christ-like. More Christ-like. That's the whole point of this. All right. You're going to like this one too. You heard the song, Run, Devil, Run, from Crowder? Oh, yeah. Praise makes the devil flee. Why is that? The devil hates God. The devil hates Jesus with a passion. More than he hates all of us, he hates God. He detests God because he used to be right with God. Remember the devil wasn't always a devil. Remember the story? He was an angel in heaven, and he decided to what? Yeah, he rebelled against God. He tried to overthrow God. God kicked him out. He knows how awesome heaven is. He knows how good it is. He lost it. And he hates God because of it. Even though it was his mistake, it wasn't God's mistake. It was his own mistake, and he took a third of the angels with him. They became the demons. Praise makes the enemy flee. He's not going to sit there and listen to you praise God. You're going to listen to your Christian music. He's not going to hang around and listen to this. He's out of there. You want to get the devil out of your house? Start praising God. Praise pushes back the darkness. Ooh. Praise defeats negativity. How many of you got family members that are all time negative, 100% of the time negative? Oh, yeah, I got some of those. Okay?
Just don't try to worry.
We won't say a word for $50. Praise focuses our attention. Oh, it's so important for us to every now and then to get our minds off of ourselves, off of our problems, and put our focus on God. It's so important for us to do that. All right. You're going to love this verse too. Praise invites His presence. Psalm 22:3. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Do you hear that? The Lord inhabits your praises. You want to meet with God? You want to have a communion with God? He inhabits your praise. Start having a praise break with God every single day. You'll see, you'll be amazed at the communion, the unity, the intimacy that you'll have with your God. That's an awesome thing. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. This is important that we understand this. Praise is a relationship. It's not a ritual.
Amen.
We got to be really careful about this, okay? Christianity is not church attendance. We got to be really careful that we just don't come into church and sit in the pew and sing a song and read and listen to the pastor and just do the same thing. It's not a ritual that we do this. It's not a ritual. It's all about a relationship. It's very important that we understand this. Okay, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, teens. What is your purpose for being on this life, in this earth, in this life? God created you to live inside you. That's your purpose for existing on this earth. That's the mission that you've been given by God himself. You have been created for God to live inside you, and he desires a close relationship with you. And guess what? You know what the beautiful thing about this is? This hit me a few weeks ago. It's one of these truths that I've known for a long time, but I never really grasped it until recently. You are the one that controls how close you are to God. God isn't up in heaven distant, you know, saying, you know, stiff-arming you, saying, I'll talk to you later. I'll deal with your problems later. No, God is right here in your midst. He's right here in front of you. You control how close you are to God. You decide how close you are with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus is right here waiting, wanting to be your Savior, your friend, the lover of your soul. He's right here. He desires a relationship, and it all depends on how much you want it. How much do you want it? Oh, it's so important. All right. All right, we're going to wrap up here. I think I probably went into overtime here. Three things that we need to do. We're doing the alliteration with the letter P. Make your praise personal, okay? Find your quiet time. At some point during the day, you'll find a quiet time. I don't care where it is. Find a time that you can be alone with God. Talk to God. God desires your praise. He desires your communication. He desires to have greater intimacy with you. Okay? Find a time when you can pray to God. It doesn't have to be some special prayer. And I want the teenagers to understand this the most. Sometimes you guys come to church and you hear Bruce or Ronnie or me or somebody, and we pray, and it sounds like so angelic. Like, how do they come up with these words, and what does this all mean? It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be special. Just talk like you would normally talk. Talk to God the way that you would normally talk to somebody else. He understands what you're thinking. He knows your heart before you even say the first word, but speak the words. It's important. Make your praise personal. What do you think the next one is? Make your praise public. I took this photo. Kids, where did the person's photo take? Atlanta, Georgia, Infinite Energy Arena. This was Forward Conference last year. I'm telling you, it was something very special. 13,000 people with hands raised, glorifying. This song we sang tonight, I Raise a Hallelujah. The group that came up with that is Bethel Music, Jonathan and Melissa Helser. They were there, and they played that song in their concert. 13,000 hands raised and giving worship to Jesus Christ. It was special. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit moves in the midst when everybody is praising. Man, it's so, so amazing. It's really important that we understand this. Corporate worship is an important part of being a Christian. And some people may say, well, wait a minute. I can listen to this Jesus music in my car. Isn't that enough? No, it's not. It's important that we worship God corporately, publicly, collectively, together. That's an important thing. Guess what we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be doing a whole lot of that. You know, and I was at the Jesus Culture Conference last summer, and somebody mentioned this, and it just blew my mind. If you'd have seen me from the stage, my I just went, whoo, my jaw probably hit the floor. And this was the concept is, at some point in heaven, we're going to be there for a long time. Me or Bruce or somebody's going to start out singing a song, and a billion of the saints are going to follow in, and we're going to sing that together to our God. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard of. The songs that we sing here on earth, people up in heaven, they know these songs. They're probably singing it too. The Raise a Hallelujah, they're probably singing the same songs. They probably got people that do nothing but write songs. I bet there's a lot of great music up in heaven. We're going to be doing this. It's important. God loves it when we do collective worship. Make your worship private. Make your worship public. Make your worship a priority. It's important in our lives. We give God the place that he deserves in our hearts. There's no one person in this universe who deserves our praise, who deserves our love, our adoration anymore and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that an awesome thing? So I want you guys to think about this as we close in prayer. I want to invite Bruce to come on up. We're going to sing one more song. I want you to think about the importance of praise and collective praise to our God. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're such a great and awesome God. Lord, this is a wonderful message that you've brought to my heart. God, I just want to deliver it tonight and just have it be your words and not mine. Lord, we're just so in awe of you. We're just so thankful for what you've done, past, present, and future. You've given us a hope. God, you've just loved us more than we could possibly imagine. God, we want to bring back to you the praise on our lips, God. We know it does such good things for us. And God, we know you are moved when we come to praise you with genuine hearts and clear consciences and honest minds. God, we just ask that we close here tonight that you would bring these truths back to our mind this week and always. We praise you in Jesus' name.